Thankful again for this time to spend in your word. We pray that you will bless us and our fellowship. Rejoice again in your riches, the riches of your grace and mercy. You see evidence to us indeed day by day, especially this morning, that you kept us safe on the roads and gave us traveling mercies. Lord, we ask you now to bless us also with spiritual blessings from thy word. We ask it with the forgiveness of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I suppose you all watched the inauguration, huh? No? The inaugural. There were some bright spots. Have to admit that. We just hope that that some of it is a sign of things to come. I hope so. But anyway, all right. But now we're going to focus back to our subject on church membership. And this morning, I want to address the question of: must a person join or become a member of the church? Must a person join the church and become a member? Is that something that's necessary? And I think that, you know, we can answer that question right off the bat by saying, yeah. But we'll get into that a little more after a bit. But just to start off, to show that's indeed what took place already early on in the New Testament church, if you turn to Acts chapter 2, there, of course, we have Acts of the Apostles, particularly in obedience to the Great Commission. And in Acts chapter 2, what do we read? In verses 41, 42, and then also 47. Michael, Acts 2, 41, 42, 47.
Acts 2,
41, 42.
Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and they prayed.
And the last verse, 47.
Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved.
So, clearly, upon profession of faith and baptism, we read that they were added where? They were added to the church. Added to the church. In the New Testament, then, people believed, professed faith, were baptized, joined the church. Added to the church. So, again, is it necessary to be united with the church? And according to the scriptures, I think that can easily be shown, okay? That we are united with Christ through the church. We are united with Christ through the church. And we only have to look at some of the representations that the scripture gives us. The union of Christ with his church and of the church with her members. And we find that beautifully set forth in the symbol of the human body. The human body. You want to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians? Well, first Ephesians 1, but then 1 Corinthians 12. We see very clearly from the scriptures that Christ is described as the head. Head of what? Well, head of the body. Then, of course, the question is, what is the body? And we'll see that Christians are members of that body, which is his church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Ryan, got it? All right, that's pretty straightforward, pretty clear. God has put all things under whose feet? Under Christ's feet. Gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. And then again in Colossians 1:18. Ryan, why don't you pick that one up too? Colossians 1 verse 18. Okay, clearly there could be no doubt about this comparison. Christ is the head of the body, the head of the church. Now, Christians are united to Christ, their head, by being united with his body, with the body. And that is most clearly seen in 1 Corinthians 12. So let's turn to that now. 1 Corinthians 12. You want to start there with verses 12 through the first part of 13. 1 Corinthians 12, 12, okay?
For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body.
Okay. Now, there again, clearly you see symbol of the human body, and that represents the church with Christ as the head, and the apostle goes on then here. Let's stay here in 1 Corinthians 12 because he goes on to show that as the eye, the ear, the hand, the foot, as members of that body have different functions, yet there's one life. But they're all different. They'll each have their function and joined in that same body. Let's read verses 15 through 20 now. Bobby, 1 Corinthians 12, 15 through 20.
I'm doing my Mark.
Pardon?
I'm doing my Mark. He's doing something else. He's distracted.
He's taking off duty. Oh, all right. Dear? 1 Corinthians 12, 15 through 20.
If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smell? Now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as it pleased. And if we were all one member, where would the body be? Now indeed there are many members, yet one body.
All right, many members, one body. And then pick up verse 27 too as well.
But now you are the body of Christ and members of each
other. All right, that of course pretty much caps it, doesn't it? Members individually of one body, that body, the church, with Christ as the head. Now, if you go back to Ephesians and Ephesians 4, 15 through 16, the same comparison comes up. and it shows, well, let's read it. Ephesians 4, 15 through 16. Scott?
15 and 16.
Yeah, Ephesians 4, 15 and 16.
Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped.
Okay, now clearly, here again shows that we can only be joined with Christ the head and grow up in him by being joined to his body, being joined to the church. And we see that same thing also in Ephesians 2. You flip back a couple of pages to Ephesians 2 and 20 through 22. Ephesians 2, 20 through 22. Roxanne, you got that there?
Thank you.
Okay, again, you see that unity that we have in and through Christ in the church. 1 Corinthians 10:17. Another one. 1 Corinthians 10:17. Neil, you got it? 1 Corinthians 10:17. You recognize that. That's a lot of times used in the communion service, isn't it? But again, it shows, of course, that we have got to be in the body. We are part of that body where Christ is the head. And again, you know, is it necessary to be united with the church in order to be united with Christ? And I think that's definitely true. You know, it's a solemn truth. And the scriptures that we've been looking at indicate that the seriousness of church membership. You know, again, I think we mentioned it last time, that there are those that say, well, you know, it's not so necessary that I be part of the church, of a recognized body. I can be the church that's always with me, or something like that, you know. But no. Definitely, we have got. If we're going to be united with Christ, we need to be part of that body, which is His church. And out of the church, according to what we have just read, out of the church, we are like an arm, an ear, an eye, out of the body. And what does that mean? You're dead. Yeah, you're dead. The life of the head does not flow into you. You see, unless you are in the body. Now, and we can only be joined with Christ through the church. It's in the church where His Spirit and His grace, you see, are found. In the church are the means of grace, the means by which we are to seek Him and find union with Him. In the church are His ministers that are to show us the way of life, you see, and are to preach the word to us, that we may know the truth, and that the truth will then set us free from all of the falseness of this world, the lies of Satan. In the church are the sacraments. And the sacraments are again another means of grace, aren't they? The sacraments are there to nourish us and to strengthen us. In the church also are the ordinances. And there we might think of the third mark of the church, which a lot of churches dismiss. The third mark of the church is what? Discipline. You see, there are the ordinances of the church, the rules of discipline. And that discipline is designed to renew us in His image, and to, you know, to conform us more and more to the image of Christ. That of course is also the work of the Word, but still, of course, you know, the rules of discipline, the ordinances of the church, are meant to do that as well. And those who think that they can, you know, get by without membership in the church, they're not availing themselves of that means. And I think that's clearly illustrated then too in these verses that speak of Christ the head and His church is the body. And so it's really not all that necessary. And yet, you know, we have to do it. It's not all that necessary to discuss the question whether we can be Christians out of the church. Can we be Christians out of the church? Remember, not when you know, you remember what the church is. I think that's a useless question, really. And you know, it's a useless question. And did Jesus Did Jesus ever give an answer to a question like that? Whether we can be saved out of the church? I don't think so. You know, it's kind of like that. It is kind of like that case where one came to Christ and asked, Lord, are there few that be saved? Remember that? Did Jesus answer that? He never answered that question. What did he go on to say? You know, he responded, but what did he say? No, he said, strive to enter what? To enter into the straight gate. That's how he responded. And it's just, that's it's as if he had said that, look, you've got more important things with which to occupy your time than to ask that question whether there be few that are saved. That's not for you to be wondering about. Or to be, to be concerned with. What is that to you? He said, you think about yourself. Strive to enter into the straight gate. That's your concern. Your concern is about your own salvation. You know, and are you thinking about that? You see. See to it that you are saved. Yeah.
Isn't that what he told Peter when Peter asked him, what about him?
Yeah.
About John?
Yeah. Again, you know, that's not your business. Yeah. So, if you ask, can no one be saved out of the church? Foolish question, really.
Can it?
Yeah.
If you are available to the opportunity and or the privilege to join yourself, it's your obligation to join yourself.
Yes.
If you want a life sentence, great.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, yeah, sure. The thing of it is that you still have to consider yourself part of the body of Christ. You know. Because you can't not be saved outside of the body of Christ. I think those scriptures that we've looked at make that pretty plain, don't they? Yeah. And so the thing of it is that really what we ought to focus on, really what the question should be, is that you and I can be saved in the church. And we should not neglect that. We must not neglect it. Yes?
This Belgian confession you call is the yoke of Christ, the doctrine.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, yeah.
It seems that there's no reason to separate oneself from the church other than a desire to be apart from authority.
Yeah, yeah, really, yeah.
When you consider all the benefits of the church, what good reason is there to not join yourself to the community of believers other than you don't want to?
And you know, where is the word of God to be preached? Where are the sacraments to be administered? Where is discipline to be exercised? Outside of the church? I don't think so. No. And when once, of course, we're happily joined or housed in the Father's house in the joyful fellowship with his children, with our brothers and sisters. And feasting, you know, together on His love and His grace, we will not ask that question. That will not be our concern. Whether we can enjoy those same benefits out in the world, out in the cold and dreary barrens of the world, and apart from the church. Okay. That should be the desire, the longing, you see, of every child of God, is to be part of that body, you see. It's the same as if we should ask, you know, cannot the eye see or the ear hear when out of the body? No. Can we bear fruit apart from the vine? Away from the head? No, you can't. You see, yeah.
considering this topic, many times I thought of this verse in John 13:35. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another."
Yeah.
It's very hard to explain how you love other Christians if you have no desire to come.
Yeah. If you've got that independent attitude, well, I don't need it. Or I don't need the church. You know, I can make it on my own.
Jesus said that would be a mark.
Yeah.
You were his disciple by your love.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you so you know, it is enough for us to know that God does not say that we can be saved out of the church. We can't. We can't. Nowhere in Scripture are we advised to stay out of the church or outside the body. Yeah.
I think it's in Hebrews where it says not forsake the
assembling of yeah. Brethren. Yeah.
If we are of Christ, then we belong to Jesus.
Yeah. And you know, the church is evidently our Lord's delight. Turn to Psalm 87. A beautiful psalm, but a psalm really that focuses on the church. Psalm 87. Elizabeth. Mary Elizabeth. Psalm 87, 2 and 3. Yeah.
The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God.
Yeah. Exactly. And what's it talking about? Talking about the church, you see. Really, the church, think about this. The church is the birthplace of the saints. It's the birthplace of the saints. Look at verses 5 through 7. Stay in this psalm, Psalm 87, and read verses 5 through 7. Ryan, you got it? Psalm 87, verses 5 through 7. All right, that's pretty well focused on the church, isn't it? And the importance of being, you know, in the church and part of the church. Of Zion it shall be said, this and that man were born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. Yeah. And so, you know, as long as one has no desire and is not willing to join the church. Now, are there extenuating circumstances? Yeah, sure. I suppose. But as long as one does not have that desire and is not willing to become part of the body, wants to be part of the body, it's the best possible proof that such a person is not a Christian, is not a believer. Because the desire and the hope to be saved out of the church is a desire and a hope to be saved out of God's way. As long as anyone is not willing to submit to God's will and way, is the heart right with God? I don't think so. No. No. You know, the people that have that attitude are like Naaman. You remember Naaman? He wished to be cleansed of his leprosy, but not in the way that the prophet told him. He didn't want to go wash in that dirty old river. No. But he was not healed until he took the prophet's way. You can review that, read that in 2 Kings 5, you see. But it's a solemn lesson, really. A solemn lesson to all who wish to be saved in their own way. or out of the church. Yeah. And after God had established his church on earth, he also instituted, you see, he instituted all of its ordinances. After Christ had given himself for his church, he preserved it even amid the all the ravings of the heathen. I mean, the New Testament church, you know, was born in the midst of trial and trouble and persecution. Yeah.
Think of the correlation of the church in the New Testament and the Israelites in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And the folly of this type of attitude, if you extrapolate it back,
yeah,
to someone saying, you know, I'm an Israelite, but they live off in the wilderness, outside the walls, at the mercy of the Amalekites and the Hittites and the Hivites, mm-hmm, and all the Philistines.
Yeah.
They don't want to come and join themselves. They don't bring their sacrifices to the temple. They don't come and sing with the Israelites. They don't go out to war. They're just over there claiming to be an Israelite.
Yeah.
Everyone around them think they were a fool.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we see that again in the early confession. It says that outside of the church, there is no salvation. It's a bold statement.
Yeah. Pretty strong statement. But I mean, isn't that true from the scriptures that we looked at? You know, the human analogy of the body, the human the analogy of the human body and being part of that human body. Yeah. With Christ as the head. Yeah.
I think with this understanding that being part of the church is so important, that points to making sure you're part of the true church.
Well, that's how we're gonna end. You know, but after all of this, you see, it's next to blasphemy to ask the question, can we be saved? Can a person be saved outside the church? And yet there are those who want to ask that, or who believe that, you see, that we can be saved as well out of the church as in it. No, you can't.
One last example. When Jesus was on the earth walking around, he would call his disciples to himself and join themselves to him. Follow, it necessitates that they were all communicating with one another,
fellowshipping
with one another. And you imagine someone back in those days, Jesus said, you know, drop your nets, come follow me. He said, well, I love you and I'll follow you, but I'm just going to stay over here. I'm not going to join myself to your group or anything.
Yeah.
Just be over here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like I say, it's next to blasphemy. You see, to even, you know, think that way, to ask that question. Sadly, there are those who, you know, take that attitude today. But take it or leave it, you know. It's sad. Well, that, of course, was the question I wanted to address with you this morning. And that is, must a person join or become a member of the church? And from the New Testament days, right from the beginning of the New Testament church, we have to say and we have to believe that, yes, we do have to join, become part of the church. Now, the question that we will address next time is what Scott brought up, which church? As you know, the church today is, well, you know, It's terribly divided. It's terribly disformed, and we have to know, you know, what is the true church. And the Bible also tells us, instructs us there, and that's what we will focus on the next time. How can we know, or how can we decide what is the true church that I should become a member of? I think all of you maybe have a pretty good idea already of that, but that's the next question. Okay? And we'll address that next time. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.